Moshe Feldman, Pasha's Vayera.
Right. Morning, everybody. You know, at the end of a big simcha, and there's been lots and lots of people, or there's been a big shul davening with a simcha, huge olam, bli ayin hara, and after the simcha, after davening, you come to get your coat. And you're sure you put it over there. You think you have the clarity, you put it over there. And there's a big pile, massive pile of coats. And you realize that you're not 100% sure where you put your coat. And even if you are 100% sure where you put your coat, there's been now a massive pile on top of that massive pile that was there in the beginning, and you're looking frantically for yours in the pile, and you suddenly find it. You suddenly find your coat. You've been looking and searching. Ah, the clarity, the peace of mind, the peace of P-E-A-C-E, the peace of heart. Ah, you found your coat. Electric lights inside the brain and the heart. On a more serious level, nobody should ever, alone, have to go through this. You're in a busy shopping centre and you lose sight of your child for a few seconds. It doesn't have to be minutes even, it can be seconds. Anybody who's been through that Gehenna will know what we're talking about. A massive crowd of people and you look around, oi gewalt! And you begin shouting the name of the child. You don't care who hears. You don't care who listens. You just shout and shout and shout. And you want to come across the name. Well, come across the child. And all of a sudden, you see that lost child or person in the large crowd in the shopping centre. The clarity. Ah, it's now clear. Anybody driving from Gateshead? Driving through a thick fog on the Pennines, before the Pennines, through the Pennines, thick fog, and you can't see inches in front of you, and you still have lorries whizzing past, and the fog is thick, and all of a sudden it becomes lovely and clear. The fog lifts, and you're able to drive along the motorway, it's lovely and clear. The word today, clarity. In our avodas Hashem, in our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when do we get clarity and peace of heart in mind? When do we get to know if we're doing the exact and precise Rotzon Hashem? A very, very, very basic question today. We're doing everything. We're doing as many of the mitzvahs, tariyat mitzvahs that we can. We're performing. We're davening, we're keeping Shabbos, we're putting on tefillin, we're saying brachas, we're benching. Are we doing everything exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do? Obviously, lo nitna Torah lemalachei hashores. The Torah wasn't given to malachim. The Torah was given to human beings. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows very well that we are human beings. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we can, and we can, and sometimes we can't. But are we doing exactly what Hashem knows that we can do, I personally can do? Am I doing Rotzon Hashem?
We have instruction, you know.
Sorry?
We have instruction, no, no. Subhana Rokhi, tell you what to
do. We have instruction telling us, yeah. But are we doing exactly according to the instructions? Yeah. And are we putting in as much rotzeh? Are we putting in as much kavana? Are we putting in as much feeling? Are we caring for others? That they carry out instructions in the most beautiful way as possible. Are we doing that? Okay, so that's today's subject. Be'ezras Hashem. We know that Hashem wants us to steig and have a drive for spiritual growth. He wants us to have a rich inner life. He wants us to look at the world as a great gift in order to steig. Morabu ma'asecha Hashem kulam b'chachmo osiso malo ha'oret kinyonecha. Hashem has made such a beautiful physical world with all sorts of phenomena. I think that's it. I think I got it. All sorts of old mountains and seas and rivers and lakes and forests and animals and beasts and birds and insects of all colors and all sizes, of all creeds. Hashem wants us to look at that and to be able to treat it as a gift in order for us to learn Rotzon Hashem. Hashem understands how we feel, and He is the one to whom to turn to and to daven to. He is able to do what needs to be done. He has all the knowledge and expertise. He is the ultimate source of the fulfillment of all our wishes. There was somebody who was looking for a job, a young man looking for a job. And he was looking and he was looking, he went for interviews and interviews, and every time he was up, he was almost there, and it fell at the last hurdle. He wasn't able to reach it, he wasn't able to be successful. And he came to his Rav one day and said, Rebbe, what can I do? I've tried so much. I've been to this one, I've been to that one. Send the Rav to him very, very simply. Have you been to Hashem? You've been to so many people. You've been in the directory from A to Z. Have you been through all in H? Have you been to Hashem? Have you simply stood in front of H, Hashem, and simply, in your own language, with your own heart and your own mouth, poured your heart out to Him and asked Him to please provide what you need? And He is fully capable and able to do so more than any other in the directories of A to Z. The young man did that. He supplicated in front of Hashem. For as Hanan and Hashem, he supplicated. And in the end, he was matzliach. And he was able to receive, to get the job he wanted to have. Simply by turning to the one to whom he knew would be able to give him from the Rotzon Hashem. Hashem wants us not to be confused. It's very, very easy to be confused. It's very easy to be taken in by all sorts of opinions and all sorts of dais and all sorts of things that we read and blogs and all sorts of things. But Hashem knows all that. And Hashem's Torah has never changed. Lo muchlefes. It has never changed. Hashem knows what the MS is, and Hashem knows that we are not to go round even with semi-confusion, but to be able to allow comments of outsiders to just wash us off like water off a duck's back. To be able to do that is not easy. Hashem wants us to have the clarity. And who better to turn to than the very, very first of the Avos of our nation, to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, Hashem said to Avraham Avinu after the Akedah, Ato Yodati, Ki Rei Elohim Ato. Now I know that you are a fearer of Hashem. Let us think for a moment what this sentence here that was just said to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu Avinu had spent his life full of Yirat Shamayim. He spent his life talking to people, being the Karev people, Ves HaNefesh, Ash'osu B'choron. He spent his life helping people, directing people to the true Avodas Hashem. And all of a sudden now, Ato Yodati, now I know, Ki Re'a Lekim Ato. Until now, Hashem didn't know. Until now, there was no way to prove. Only after he was prepared to offer up his son on the Akedah, only then. So Rashi brings the Medrash Tanchuma that Hashem said, now I know how with clarity I can show the whole world that there is total justification that I'm going to have for my love for Bnei Avraham, for Klal Yisrael. Till now I wouldn't have had that full justification. Why are you choosing them? Why are you favoring them? Why aren't you favoring us? But now I can show the clarity with which Avraham passed that test, and therefore all the first 9 tests have indeed been substantial. The entire world can now have clarity of mind and heart. The truth is, Hashem didn't need to test Avraham. Hashem knew the answer beforehand very well. The Rambam says it was meant for us, not for Hashem and not for Avraham, to establish the clarity for all times, how far the fear and love of Hashem must go. Rashi says, Hashem said, Tachno, please take, please pass this test. Sometimes people would claim, when someone goes all out for other people, self-sacrifice, sometimes it isn't that selfless. It could be construed as profit-driven. A good business move sometimes. Sometimes a famous death can come in handy. But the Akedah was none of that. The Akedah, if Yitzchak would have been killed, Lechoira would have been a terrible investment, if we're looking in business eyes. Avraham's mission was to spread awareness of Hashem and goodness to the world. Yitzchak, his son, was the only one alive and capable of carrying on spreading that good to the next generation after that. Yet Avraham was prepared to give up everything if that's what Hashem wanted him to do to Shech Yitzchak. The balance sheet of our life can be very, very misleading. There are illnesses, tragedies, loss of life and wasted talents. What's the point and gain of all this? With the Akedah, Avraham is teaching us that by doing exactly what Hashem wants us to do, we can faithfully march on in life, focusing on our goals and Avodas Hashem. It might look like a contradiction to everything we've done till now, but if I've worked out that this is what Hashem wants, then this is the best thing to do. It's as simple as that. And if you go to an Adam Gadol and you get a psak that this is what I want you to do, even though it looks crazy and sounds crazy, but once we're convinced that this is Ratzon Hashem, we are reenacting the Akedah. We are doing our own Akedah Yitzchak. In the end, we see that what looked like a terrible loss is really immeasurable gain and profit. Going back to people saying that the first 9 tests therefore have no substance. How could people say that? How? Would not bringing his dear precious son up on the Mizbeach, and who would blame him for not doing that, really detract from all his virtues, all his milas, in spreading Hashem's name in a pagan society? Or choosing to walk into a furnace of fire rather than give up his belief in the one Hashem? The amazing thing that Avraham did? People would ignore that. Would he lose credit for his amazing unconditional hachnosas oregon? The 4 doors around his tent welcoming people all the time? And to so readily do bris milah at such a late age of 99 years old? How about Avraham davening so hard for the people of Sodom? Will people ignore that? And making his life in order to save, risking his life in order to save Lot, who had chosen to live in Sodom. that Rishoyim would still say yes. But don't forget, Avraham still had the inner pleasure. He never sacrificed his ego. Ah, people said, wow, what a wonderful man. He had bris milah at a late age. He risked his life to save Lot. He prayed so hard for the people of Sodom. Wow, what a wonderful man. All that Hashem showed everybody would not apply to the tenth test of the Akedah. Why? It was secluded on the top of a mountain. Nobody would see it. No one there to witness. There would be no glory in Avraham at all. As Avraham had always told people around the world never to sacrifice children. No satisfaction. Yitzchak would have carried on Avraham's life work. Everyone had clarity that he was carrying out Hashem's will. What Hashem really wanted when he asked Avraham to offer up his son was telling him and all his future generations, ask the B'nai Yisrael, that we belong to Hashem. As simple as that. And we work hard to gain the clarity. It's not hard. Sorry, it's not easy. It's hard to gain the clarity, to find ways to serve Hashem and carry out Hashem's will. Each generation to the next generation does this with its own Akedah, its own Mesiras Nefesh. Why then did Hashem say to Avraham, offer him up as an Oyla? If Hashem didn't really intend to offer him up as a Korban, to give this clarity to all future generations, that it's not because Avraham wasn't brave enough, he lacked the courage to do child sacrifice. Avraham would have completed it, if not for the intervening tzibui of the Malach. We have never done child sacrifice, because Hashem of life wants us to keep on to life as much as possible. The famous posuk for Chai Bohem. Reb Shimon Schwab Zatzal says that the Akedah wasn't only a test of Avraham. It was also a test for Yitzchak. Don't forget, Yitzchak at the time was 37 years old. He could have turned around to his father at the stage when he knew about it, and he could have said, Father, I am not carrying on with this. He was obviously physically stronger than Avraham. He could have resisted. In effect, the passing on of all his other spiritual tests would have become insignificant because he wasn't able to pass that same on to his children. Yitzchak, by agreeing to the Akedah, validated all the previous 9 tests. He confirmed them all. We are able to pass tests. We are able to have the Mesiras Nefesh to fulfill Hashem's will because of Avraham and Yitzchak. It's built into our genes. So far we've been talking about the clarity as regards exactly what is Rotzen Hashem. Now, let us begin to appreciate clarity in a place. A place like this, a Beis HaMedrash, a Beis HaKnesses, a school, a place of learning, a place of Yishuv of Torah. Let us learn to appreciate such a place. For this, we can turn round to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, when he woke up from his sleep, he had this wonderful dream of the ladder and the malachim and Hashem's promise to him. What do we see? Yaakov Avinu woke up and he could have said, fantastic. Wow, how lucky I am. I've just been given such an amazing tivoi. Beautiful, lovely dream, lovely future. None of that. Manoira hamokim hazeh. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of Hashem, and this is the gate of Shammai. That's what he said. The holiness of the place he was in came across clearly and strongly. The first clarity that Yaakov Avinu had, as Rashi brings in Vayetze, was, I shouldn't have slept in such a holy place. But surely you've just had such an amazing dream. You've had amazing promises for the future. No. My first point is, it's such a holy place, I shouldn't have slept here. he felt he had a lack of appreciation of the Kedusha of that place. We have to gain an appreciation, the clarity of the Kedusha of a place. Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel Zatzal derived from here that Yaakov Avinu was even prepared to forego all the wonderful, beautiful nevuahs he had in the dream, rather than have slept in such a holy place. The clarity that Yaakov showed us went to his wife Leah as well. When Leah had great clarity in the chasodim that she was getting from Hashem, in that she was taking more than her share, as until now, each of the four wives of Yaakov Avinu was expected to give birth to three sons each, which would make the 12 shvatim. She was now expecting her fourth son, which means that whatever happens, she was going to get more than her share. More than the share, more than her official share of three each. Yeah. Therefore, when her son was born, she called him Yehuda. Hapa'am oida es Hashem. This time, I thank Hashem with a special thanks, because I've been granted more than my share. The Chiddush Erim posits that this is the reason why the Jewish people are called Yehudim. We understand the essence of a Yid is to say thank you, with a clarity that we are grateful to Hashem for always granting us more than we deserve. We always get more than we deserve. The word Taida comes from the word Maida, to confess or to concede. An act of admission. We're saying to Hashem, Abishta, I really do need and appreciate your assistance. Acknowledge and give gratitude to the one who is the source of all power. Story is told in 1984. Rav Aaron Paperman Zatzal. He was a vice president of the Telzer Yeshiva in America. He later became director of Chinuch Atzmoi, and he was once the keynote speaker at Yeshiva Sharei Torah of Muncie, Rockland, New York dinner. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Beryl Wang, Shlita, sent one of the older Bachurim of the Yeshiva to meet Rabbi Paperman at the airport. This was a young Bachur called Yonason Hertz, who later became a Choshev Rav in Queens, New York. When Rabbi Paperman arrived, this Bachur Yonason introduced himself and why he'd come to the airport. I've come to pick you up. Rabbi Paperman asked him, why were you sent? So Yonason replied that his Rosh Hashiva had sent him. But why you specifically? Asked Rabbi Paperman. I've no idea, replied Yonason. I guess I was available, so Rabbi Wine asked me to go. No, there must be a reason why Hashem made sure it was you who was sent and no one else. Tell me about yourself. So Yonason began to relate his background to Rabbi Paperman, his parents, his family members, where he had learned in yeshiva till now. Suddenly, Rabbi Paperman's face broke into a large smile as he exclaimed, I know with clarity why Hashem sent you and nobody else. It is the Rotzon Hashem. It was in order for me to finally show my Hakaras HaToiv to he who in a big way was responsible for my Torah education. What do you mean? Your great-grandfather was somebody called Philip Gundersheimer from Baltimore. At the time, myself and two other Bokhrim wanted to go and learn Torah in a yeshiva in pre-war Europe. There was one major problem. Money. Your great-grandfather undertook the responsibility to pay for our tuition, although he was no relative. He covered all our expenses. When I returned to America, I went to his home to offer my profound gratitude. It was too late. He had passed away shortly before my return. I was devastated, And during the past 43 years, it had troubled me greatly that I could not thank my benefactor. Today, by you coming to the airport to meet me and take me to the yeshiva, Hashem has finally availed me this opportunity. Thank you. Nothing in the world is for nothing. Nothing at all. It just so happened, this happened before this, and this happened after that. We'll soon find out from Megillas Esther, Mir Hashem, that this is not the case. Now you know why you were chosen to meet me. It was not by chance, it was heavenly design. Finally, the clarity which the will of Hashem as regards what needs to happen in the world, and how even though we've been mistaken in calculations we may make, the will of Hashem always gets carried out. Whether we as instruments have the correct intentions that comply with Hashem's will or not. And where better do we find this than with Yosef and the brothers? When Yosef, a few weeks ago in Parshas Vayigash, declared to his brothers, Ani Yosef, the Torah says, V'lo yochlu echov lanois oisei ki nivhalu miponov. The brothers were not able to answer him because they were so astonished and disconcerted. They couldn't even answer. As all the past events suddenly dawned on them, they finally had the clarity in seeing that Hashem's will was carried out. Yosef told them, it wasn't even you who sent me to Mitzrayim, it was Hashem. You may have intended me harm, but Hashem intended it for the good. Likewise explains the Chofetz Chaim, when our golus is over and Hashem lifts the veil from our eyes, we will see clearly how all the events in history, some terrible, terribly dark events, will all fit into place like pieces of a complete jigsaw puzzle. What has been up to now a haphazard puzzle piece will be revealed as a divine master plan. His brothers had acted terribly towards him, but Yosef was now treating his brothers with respect. They now had the clarity that all the premises upon which they had based against Yosef were all entirely wrong. Proven wrong. The brothers expected din and mishpat. Instead, they received love and friendship. Yosef knew all of them were carrying out the will of Hashem, including himself. Everything is min hashamayim, and the other person is a shliach. We never, ever have to feel bad about anybody else. He is simply a shliach min hashamayim. Elokim chashava l'tova. But he was nasty to me. He's been cruel to me. Don't worry about that. That's only a chance for me to grow. That's only a chance for me to become better and better and better. Don't worry what he did. He's a shliach. He has his own cheshbon. Hashem will see to him separately, but don't worry about that. Your main point is that you have been given what you need to have. He was simply an instrument. As we now know that everything comes from Hashem, and his will is carried out only for the good of the world, even though we don't always see it. However, I must say that during the Six-Day War, when everybody thought that in a few days they had the power, the ammunition, the resources, the manpower to destroy the whole land, the exact opposite turned about. etc., etc., and the whole thing was turned around. And many, many, many people became Baalei Teshuva when they saw the amazing victories that Hashem had made in the Six-Day War. But we don't always see it straight away. Sometimes it's only years later. Many, many years later. The Posit says in Tehillim, which we say in Hallel, Pishu li sharei tzedek. Open for me the gates of righteousness. Avoy vom oideko. I will enter them and I will thank Hashem. Ask the Sipponim, why does it say Sharei, gates? Just say Pishu li Shar Tzedek. Tzedek is singular. Why Sharei? Answers the Sipona, this refers to the gates of the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. I can understand Beis HaKnesses, that's a place where I thank Hashem, I daven and I thank Hashem. But why Beis HaMedrash? A place where we learn Torah? Because the more Torah a person learns, and the more we get imbued into our hearts and minds the words of the Torah, what are we doing in actual fact? We are learning the words that Kudsha Barichu Estakel Bo'iraisa U'Borei Olma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah and created the world. Exactly what the Rotzon Hashem would be in every given situation. That is the way to reach Das Torah. Since we know that everything is for the ultimate good, Bo'oshiv LaHashem Kol Tagmolohi Oloi, how can I ever repay Hashem for all His kindness? If a person is zeicha to raise a Yiddish home, if a person is zeicha to make simchas and have so many brachas in life, shouldn't a person be so grateful? A person is zeicha to make a chasna of a child. A person is zeicha to have a bar mitzvah of a grandchild. Shouldn't a person be full of simcha, full of happiness, full of joy? Mo'oshiv LaHashem. And when a person lo yaleinu goes through a difficult patch, tzara v'yoga in emtza uv'shem Hashem ekra. But those three words uv'shem Hashem ekra are mentioned twice. Tzara v'yoga in emtza uv'shem Hashem ekra, but at the same time kos Yeshua is esa uv'shem Hashem ekra. A person calls upon the name of Hashem in all situations. In Tzara v'yoga in emtza, and hopefully always in kos Yeshua is esa. In Moedim Derabbanan we say gratefully to Hashem, Al Shechi Yisona V'ki Amtonu, you've kept us alive, why? Lishmoech Ukecho V'lasoiz Ritzoinecho, to guard your chukim and to do your will, to do the will of Hashem. In benching we're thanking Hashem for Bechein, Bechesed of Rachamim, for giving us continually, giving us food. The will of Hashem that the world should be sustained and nourished. No wonder that in Chazaras Hashatz, after each bracha, we answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi, Amen. But when it comes to Hakoras HaTov, when it comes to Moedim, that's not enough. We have a whole big paragraph that we respond about Tfilah, Moedim each day, not just Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi, Amen. A whole paragraph, the paragraph of Hakoras HaTov. And that is what a Yid is. The first words we declare upon waking up in the morning is Maida Ani. I thank, I acknowledge my indebtedness to Hashem. But here comes a bit of an achrayus. If we go to a shop and we buy a pen, we buy a pen. You go to W.H. Smith, you go anywhere, you buy a pen. You'll use the pen, you'll pick out the pen, you'll write with it, you'll put it down, no problem. If the Queen of England would give you a pen and say, this is a pen for you, that pen would be completely guarded in a most amazing way. Would you leave it unused? Would you ever use that pen on foolishness? You may even frame it as a treasure. But if the Queen told you, I want you to use this pen for learning, for education, for good things, you'd be so careful what to write with it. Would you scribble with it? Would you write graffiti with it? Of course not. So once we realize that the bodies we have, the minds we have, and the mouths we have, and the legs and the heart and everything we have, is a special present from Hashem. Here you are. Please use it. Please look after it. Please live with it. Wow. This is a present from the King Melech Malchei Amlochim. How are we going to guard it? How are we going to treasure it? How are we going to look after it? How are we going to commit to using it in how it was meant to be given and meant to be used by the greatest giver of all, Tov Hashem Lakoil V'Racham Aval Kol Ma'asav. So to summarize, the clarity in exactly what the Rotzon Hashem is, as we found by the Akedah, And not to be unfair, because we've mentioned Avram and Yaakov, so we've got to mention Yitzchak as well, of course. Because Yitzchak Avinu, when he'd given the brachas to, he thought it was Esau, because he'd spent his time thinking that Esau was the one who deserved the brachas. And when he found out that it was the Rotzen of Hashem, when he saw with clarity, Bo achicha b'mirma v'yikach b'chasecha, what did Yitzchak say? Gam baruch yiyah. He shall be blessed. Straight away he was mekabel Rotzen Hashem. Straight away he accepted the Rotzen of Hashem. He took it. He took it gladly and took it firmly. Then we spoke about the clarity and the kedusha of a place. Do we really appreciate what we have? Hashem has given us these wonderful places in town. Do we really appreciate them? Do we really say to Hashem, as with the pen the king gives us, wow, I've given you these wonderful places, please look after them, please treat them with the greatest respect and the greatest feelings. Clarity, how doing something right to another person, as we see with Yosef and the brothers. And finally, clarity in what Hashem or another person has done for us, to appreciate what they've done for us. And we see even Hakoras HaToiv, not only to Hashem, not only to other people, but even, as we see in this week's Sedra, even to inanimate objects. Even to water, the river, and even to the ground. It was not struck by Moshe, because Moshe had benefit from the river and from the ground. And therefore the makas of Dom's Fadei Akidim were not begun by Moshe hitting, but rather by Aaron. So we see Hakoras HaToiv to be able to show gratitude. Why? Because we have the Rotzen Hashem. And we see that David HaMelech, he couldn't understand why Hashem should make insanity in the world. Why should a person become insane? For what reason? What Rotzen Hashem is there in that? That a person loses his mind, the terrible sadness, when we've seen a person who spent his whole life in teaching and learning and about tefillah and davening and learning, and sometimes we see him in his older age dribbling and looks terrible and bedraggled, and Nabuch, his mind is gone, and we say, well, what's all this for? Obviously we don't know all the answers. We'll never know all the answers. But what we do know is it's Rotzen Hashem. Hashem wants everything to be as it is. And it's for us to be able to appreciate what we have and to use it for the very, very best. And sometimes it's kedai to sit down quietly at home and say, what I'm doing or what I've done today or what I will do today, is it Rotzen Hashem? Does Hashem want me to do it or not? If I know, fine. If I don't know, there's ways of finding out. In that way we can pass it on to our children, as Avraham did to Yitzchak, and to our grandchildren, and to our great-grandchildren. Lo yomushu mipicha umipi zaracha umipi zera zaracha. It will continue forever and ever. Because as we all know, this chol doy v'doy oimdim oleinu l'chaloseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this divine master plan, which, as the Chofetz Chaim said, will all come into fruition when we finally see the Geula, and we'll be able to turn round, as David found out when he asked, why did Hashem make insanity? And he had to use that insanity when he was running away from the Plishtim. He himself used that insanity. And then he turned to Hashem and said, oh Hashem, now I understand why you even make insanity. To be able to utilize everything. And to be able to turn around and say, Eibishter, I'm trying to do what you want me to do. And likewise, when the Geula will come, Hashem will say, right, now you've seen my Rotzon, and now I'm going to put my Rotzon clearly to the whole world in Klal Yisrael through the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Binyan HaShlishi, B'mheira V'yameinu, Amen.
Amen.